Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Everybody, how you doing? Yeah, that was that sucked. Welcome to PHLY Flyers, presented by Mortgage CS. Check out mortgagecs.com/PHLY to start your home buying process today. Company NMLS ID number 1464766. My name is Bill Matz. I'm your director of fun and games for the evening. Joining me tonight, the one and only JP Zapata. Charlie O'Connor will be joining us live from Montreal in just a little bit. Flyers go down 4-1 to the lowly Montreal Canadiens. And listen, we're going to talk about the disallowed goals and the things that happened in the third period. Looks like they missed that penalty on Armia and for taking Lawton's helmet off. Then he scores an empty net goal. End of the day, the Philadelphia Flyers came out in a game where you could, at the very least, stay ahead. Now, we'll talk about the scores a little later. It doesn't look like the Flyers lost any ground because the Capitals already lost and Detroit is en route to a loss. Mm-hmm. But you have the advantageous schedule for the next six games. You can put some distance or at least keep pace tonight. And you just come out flat. That's We can talk all about the things that went wrong in the third period, but what happened was they gave away the first 40 minutes of the game, and then they needed everything to go right in the third period, and surprise, surprise, it didn't, so they lose. Unacceptable from the team tonight. I think they might be tired. You look at the schedule,
yeah,
and they've been going hard for a long time. We know the goalie's workload has been insane. So too has the rest of this lineup for the most part. We'll get into it, but JP, what are your thoughts on this one? Because this was not good.
I'm sure the fans are adding the Flyers right now to get Fedot off here.
Get him here. Yeah.
No, but I mean, Bill, like you just mentioned right there, like we just got done the toughest part of the schedule. I mean, you just look at some of these last games they had. The Rangers, although we lost in overtime, that took a lot. That was a crazy game. The Panthers, even though Felix Sandstrom didn't play good, that was a good effort by them. They won against the Bruins. So I know we were all expecting them to kind of sweep through this next part of the schedule, these next six games like we talked about in the pregame show. But, dude, I mean, it's not easy playing Montreal. And like you said, I just don't know what it was, but they just did look flat. I mean, even like Montreal, obviously we're trying to antagonize the Flyers, and it just seemed like, yeah, I mean, they just didn't have any answers here today, it felt like. And it's just, it's really frustrating, to say the least, considering where we're at. Although the Washington Capitals, or the Toronto Maple Leafs did us a favor here. But no, we want to take care of our own business. We should have to rely on the Capitals to lose. So this is a really frustrating sour taste tonight.
Yeah, we have a couple of super chats already.
What's going on, guys?
Corey says, that was worse than the first Sharks game, fire everyone. Yeah, I mean, the Sharks game, the Sharks game, they came out, the one they lost early in the season, right, for San Jose's first win of the year. They came out a little flat, gave up a couple. The effort, for the most part, was there that night. And then it was just a little bit of a bounce back, I think, for the Sharks in terms of the goaltending, because their save percentage was like 750 or something to start the season. And then they just happened to get some saves that night. Like, the Flyers weren't thoroughly outplayed for 40 minutes by the Sharks like they were the Canadiens tonight. I think this is one of the worst losses of the season. Maybe because of time and place and opponent, it's the worst. I'm with you there. And then from Gary B., Bill, can you explain to me why Cates was scratched for Cam Atkinson? We're going to ask Charlie just about the lineup decision to put Atkinson
touched upon
in
pregame show.
But it's he's out for personal reasons tonight. He was we don't know. He wasn't at morning skate, we were told. And then Cam Atkinson comes into the lineup. Noah Cates comes out. I mean, listen.
Not the reason why we lost.
Yeah, Cam Atkinson, Noah Cates, Nick Delorier, Denis Garyanov, ain't none of them were going to win the game tonight. I did think the decision was a little interesting just because the Habs have Arbor Jacki, and he's a badass. And I thought, well, all right, you're going to need some energy. Maybe this was a game for Nick Delorier just in case. Mm-hmm. It didn't matter. Like, that's not what won and lost them the game. It's that they just sucked for the first 40 minutes.
How about the fact that they couldn't even shoot out a dump truck and hit that? Because, like, every shot was wide, high.
When they finally got some opportunities, like, they had the one power play, Konechny hits the post. They had a ton of shots blocked tonight. It just was not good. And I am not going to try to make excuses for the Flyers because, this was an unacceptable result. And
for
they,
sure.
I don't care how tired they are. I don't care how hard they've been running through this last month. They need to come out and kill the Blackhawks on Saturday. Like, no ifs, ands, or buts. That's a must-win game in my mind. But I do want to, the horrible first period and really the horrible first 40 minutes. So they give up two goals in the first, and that's really the game right there.
Yeah.
But they only got four. It turned into they credited him with an extra shot. So they get five shots on goal in the first period. There is a gap of over 5 minutes between the Flyers' first and second shots on goal. And there is a 9-plus-minute gap between shot number four and shot number five in the first period. I don't care if the Montreal Canadiens came out with the world's greatest game plan tonight and they were trapping like the 1995 New Jersey Devils. I don't care what it was. You can't just be dominated this way, have no offensive push whatsoever for an entire period. Like, zero offensive push, really, until the third.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's obviously unacceptable for them to just put up that offensive production that did here today. I mean, I look at, that top line, right, with Frost, Konechny, and Tippett, they had opportunities. But like we just said, they just could not get anything good that would go in front of Primo, who obviously, he was minutes away from getting his third shutout in at home in these last three games.
That would have been really funny if they reviewed that for offside and a third goal got disallowed.
We're out there, Charlotte, too, if Keith was in building, too, because obviously the Flyers in town. But no, I mean, offensively, none of the, even that third line, obviously they muck and grind, but they couldn't even do that here tonight. But, obviously the third period, you had a couple of those goals getting called off. And once Tippett was able to get one in, we were just like, is this one getting called off too? Because it kind of just felt like that type of night.
It just really felt like that kind of night. And hopefully they're able to rebound on Saturday. But it's just the one day off again. And this has kind of been a theme for the Flyers' schedule this month. This is the Flyers' sixth game in the last 10 days. They haven't had more than one day between games in 2 weeks. They've only had more than one day off between games twice this month. This is their 14th game in the month of March.
It's insane,
it's March 28th, so they're averaging a game every other day this month. It's been a tough just go of it, and obviously, you look at that last Rangers game, and the last seven were all really tough opponents, but just that last Rangers game that they played on Tuesday, physically and emotionally draining, the roller coaster ride that was that game, the near comeback, just everything that was that ridiculous game. This did set up as a trap game. Now, that said, again, not an excuse, just the way things are. You have to figure out a way to overcome it. They have done that all year. They have been resilient all year. Every time it's been shit, wheels are coming off. They have found a way to at least steady things and keep their heads above water. Like I said tonight, and Charlie just tweeted it, not the end of the world. This isn't going to kill them that they lost tonight because of the results of the other two games. The Caps losing, the Red Wings losing. But it is a disappointing start to what I am referring to as this stretch of six games beginning tonight, the most important of the season. All winnable against teams that you are better than. They need 9 or 10 points. They're 0-2 right now.
Yeah, I mean, really, I mean, that depth is coming into play. Like, I know, like, throughout this entire year, we were still, like, talking about rebuilding for this team. And I know that we are still trying to get those young assets. But, like, you look at some of these contenders here, they obviously have the depth. Right now, unfortunately, the Flyers just don't have that. And you got a lot of tired bodies out there. We'll talk about Sam Harrison as well, who's been putting on a huge load, too, for this team. But, man, you watch tonight, and you just kind of hate to say, but maybe some of those shots are just some tired bodies out there just trying to make some plays here.
Let's take a quick second to tell you about our friends at Empire Today. With Empire Today, you get shop at home convenience, the right product for your needs, quick and professional installation, and a price match guarantee. Empire Today is the best place to get new flooring. You know it. Everyone knows it. So, of course, Empire, they've got copycats. But the copycats can't beat Empire on quality, service, or speed. So what do? They advertise low-quality products that Empire Today simply won't carry. Empire Today won't promise the lowest prices because anyone who does that is putting flooring in your home that they wouldn't put in their own. The Empire philosophy is to help you find what you need, not overwhelm you with thousands of choices and substitutes. What they leave out of their selection is as important as what they put in. Empire's product team exhaustively combs through thousands of product samples each year to find the perfect styles. And the virtual floor designer is a great way to see how new floors will look in any space. It's easy. Just snap a picture and instantly see how new floors will look in your room. Schedule a free in-home estimate today. All listeners can receive a $350 off discount when they use promo code PHLY. Restrictions apply. See empiretoday.com/PHLY for details. And never forget, 1-800-588-2300-EMPIRE.
Today.
But seriously, go to empiretoday.com/PHLY and use promo code PHLY. So yeah, that horrible first period, horrible effort really throughout the game. They did come out in the third and show you a little something. There were signs of life. They played a lot more desperate. They, they actually pressured Montreal on their breakouts, and that led to some opportunities. It led to the first disallowed goal. They make a play down low to cut off a breakout, get the puck in front. There's a big scrum, but eventually it's ruled. Garnett Hathaway kicked it in. That's a pain in the ass, but it sure did look like a kick to me. And then the offside, it's close. I think offside is a dumb rule, but it's a rule.
It took like the fourth angle, too, for them to figure that offside out.
It really almost looked like there wasn't going to be a conclusive shot of it, but they did get one, clearly offside. This is just what happens. Yes, these rulings absolutely suck, as the missed call on Lawton's helmet. There's an interference play early in the game on a Konechny on their power play goal that, maybe you'd like to see called. I just thought it was a well-executed pick. I know, that's interference, but shit happens out there. This is what happens when you sleep through 40 minutes.
Yeah.
You need everything to go your way, and then when it doesn't, you're like, if you just played in the first 40 minutes, you wouldn't be worried about any of that shit.
Yeah, no, I mean, like, look, obviously refs, sometimes they're going to ref, right? Like sometimes they're going to miss those calls, but it's important for you to keep that composure and not allow it to affect your game. There were, obviously instances like you don't want to see, TK yapping after, go back out there and going for the next play there. Obviously those things are going to happen, but I mean, in general, like that effort, it wasn't there for, like you just mentioned, those first 40 minutes. That was just rough hockey to watch there. So, I mean, like obviously going forward, these guys are going to have to put this behind them. We have these next 5-6 games where these are very winnable games, like we've talked about. The schedule is not daunting. And I think I just saw in the comment section the Islanders lost as well. So that April 1st one, we'll see what kind of Islanders team we do see there. But now the effort has to bounce back here in Chicago on Saturday.
It very much does. I want to talk about Sam Harrison a little bit.
Sam
ends up 13 saves on 50 shots, on 15 shots. Excuse me, not 50.
I imagine.
15. 867 save percentage, not exactly a great night for Harrison. I guess that's maybe one good takeaway is while the Flyers offensively looked like shit, they did just hold a team to 15 shots again. You need to win games when you only give up 15 shots. I thought Harrison could have been a little better tonight. His rebound control has probably been his biggest issue consistently throughout the season. He gives up a couple tonight that ultimately result in goals. I get that he's worn down.
Yeah.
He is not on top of his game. That's very, very obvious. When you hold a team to 15 shots, though, and lose, it's a little disheartening.
It doesn't help, though. We just had this conversation about giving it
and
to
really,
time.
It's like 13, right?
Right.
Oh, no. These are shots he saved, not total.
Oh, gotcha.
They end up with 17 shots, but 15 are on the goalie. So, yeah, it's the 15 shots Ayerson faced. Like, you just need a better save percentage than 867. I don't care how few shots he faces.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Like, yeah, so, like, obviously, like, we just past couple days, you know, a lot of people were having these comments about Ayerson in the future, and we've been sitting here telling you guys, hey, just give it a little bit. Give him some time. Rookie goalie, right? But, yeah, no, this was another one of those performances where, look, 15 shots, right? Yeah, 15 shots. You would expect that to be at least one, maybe two goals allowed there, but obviously, well, essentially, he allowed two goals in because obviously the last two were empty netters, but in general, one thing I did notice about Sam Ayerson tonight, a couple of the shots, he had a tough time of just grasping it. Like that second goal, if he would have just held on to that, we're probably not talking about 2-0 at that point. Now, I'm not going to kill Sam. This is not entirely on Sam because, look, the Flyers had their own opportunities. I mean, 30 shots on goal. You would expect them to score more than one goal here tonight. So Sam is going to need some more offense. Yes, but he also needs to be able to make some of those big saves. Those big-time goalies are able to do it. We don't know exactly what we have in Sam Ayerson, but if he wants to be that guy, sometimes those guys have to make those big saves, Bill.
Absolutely. And just, I don't want to put this all on Ayerson.
Right.
Like, yeah, he needed to be better tonight. So many players needed to be better tonight. I thought Morgan Frost looked pretty good, and that's it. Like, I can't name a guy who I thought had a decent game. Travis Konecny had a few chances. You know, he converts the power play, one that hits the post. A couple of those passes that he dishes get handled a little better. Maybe we're talking about a different game for him. But I don't think it was one of his stronger games. He does pick up an assist. He's minus two with four shots on goal and four hits tonight.
Well, surprisingly, he had three shots tonight.
Yeah, it's very, like,
I didn't even hear him. Like, that's a thing. Like, I didn't even hear him, like, a shot on goal, but he's got three shots. Like, Paling, I noticed Paling, too, tonight. He had a couple opportunities, a couple of deflections, but
he did. Yeah, he looked like maybe he's getting a little more comfortable. We talked last post game about Paling potentially turning into a net front presence on the power play,
mm-hmm.
and he made an interesting power move tonight, a JVR-esque power move, maybe, bringing the puck around and trying to jam it in on the short side on Primo, and he made the save there. But I kind of like this with Paling right now, what they're using him on the power play. Maybe try to find a little something extra for this group. Coming into tonight, they had scored in three straight. Really could have used them tonight, though. What did they end up? 0 for 4 on the power play. Like, granted, it's never going to be one of this team's strengths.
I know.
We're at game 74 now. Like, it's not suddenly going to start working. But it was just one of those, all right, we need something to get us going. A power play can be that. They had some chances, but ultimately, you have to convert.
I mean, even Bush mentioned it in the broadcast today, like, you know, in this type of situation, like, just throw shots. Like, just throw shots. You never know what will happen. Get those dirty type of goals in front of the net there. But it's just, like, this power play is very frustrating to watch on a night-to-night basis. We're not dumb. We all know that the talent level is not where it needs to be. But, like, at some point, like, just give yourself a shot. That's all we're asking for. Give yourself that shot there. It's just, in general, like, the power play just cannot put anything good together. And when you have four opportunities on a night like tonight, man, at least one of them has to go in. Obviously, we had those reviews that got called back here, but nah, man, this power play every single night, it's just frustrating. And this is what we talk about going into the playoffs. This is a playoff team with a dead last power play. It's absolutely insane to think about.
It really is. And there's a lot of guys, I guess, who we could be asking to step up, not just on the power play, but for this team, like, something needs to get this group going again. They had a couple of big wins. They had a couple of big efforts in that stretch there against the seven tough games. But now you're in must-win situations. You need to pile up some points here. I'm looking at, I realize, you know, he's clearly dealing with something. Travis Sanheim isn't practicing basically right now. He's not out there for the most part in practice. But I just look at what's happened to his scoring in the second half of this season. He's scoring in the first 34 games, 25 points. That's almost three quarters of a point a game in the first 34 games. In the last 39, he's got 16 points. That's 0.41 points a game. The offense from defensemen has been one of the things, or at least early in the season, that was really making this engine go. You see tonight, yes, Tippett gets the late goal, but basically they got shut out tonight. Like, they were unable to convert anything. I think a big part of it is because so much of the offense from defensemen, whether it's Sanheim, whether it's Zamula, guys who were putting up some points earlier in the year, are just not now. And then you look, obviously, Sean Walker was a big part of that. He's in Colorado putting up points. I get it, but someone needs to step up. And this time of year, yes, you're banged up. You're playing through stuff. It ain't going to get easier. Like, oh, yeah, we just need to get to the playoffs. You think suddenly you're going to be healthy in the playoffs? Guys just need to gut this thing out and get this team to the finish line, because they're so close and they work their asses off all year. I do not want to see them blow this, and I don't expect them to. I expect to see this team come out on Saturday and win 5-2. Like, I very much believe that that's what's going to happen. But tonight was not a good start for this stretch of six games.
No, I mean, obviously, if you're not counting the Rangers loss in OT, this is three straight losses now for the Flyers. And that's definitely not a position you want to put yourself in when you're battling for one of those last playoff spots there. But your point on the defense, yes. I mean, like, dude, I don't know how Travis Sanheim is still going out there. Yo, kudos to Sanheim.
Oh, he's definitely toughing it out. Like, Travis Sanheim, I saw this, I think it was Alex Appleyard tweeted this. I might be wrong. But he's never missed a game in his career due to injury. He's been scratched, and he missed a few games because of COVID protocols during that whole mess. But he's never missed a game due to injury. And he's dealing with something right now, and he's basically just not allowed to come out of the lineup because they're out of guys.
Yeah.
It's like, all right, well, guess what? Then Mark Stahl is suddenly getting top 4 minutes for this team, you know? Like, we have already elevated Eric Johnson and Igor Zamula way higher than we want them to be. You're dealing with Adderton Jinning out there now. Sorry, Travis, you're not allowed to come out of the lineup. I get it's tough, but someone just needs to be the fuel for this thing. It can't be Konechny every single night.
Yeah.
Like, Tippett, yes, he probably needs to be more consistent. Morgan Frost has been really good lately. He made some plays tonight, I thought. Again, the only guy who stuck out, but they need some of their veterans to push them across, and I'm looking at Travis Sanheim as number one, and Sean Couturier number two, guy who just needs to be better. Bro, I realize you're hurting, haven't played a full season in a long time. You're on the fourth line with guys who really aren't going to help you win many shifts. Cam Atkinson gets in there tonight. You just have to be better. I realize when John Tortorella was saying, you know, we just need more out of him. And I was like, that's not an answer. Like, you need to be specific here, but no, we don't. I don't care what aspect of your game has to be, but just something has to be the captain, man. You need to help will this thing. You need to find a part of your game that's been missing and figure it out and help this team get across the finish line.
That's where I'm at. I mean, obviously, yeah, Forrester, Tippett, Konechny, they've been big offensively, but Bill, I'm looking at the guy with the sweater, and it's not because of the letter of the sweater, ladies and gentlemen. It's only because of who Sean Couturier is. We know what he's capable of, but like, even like a night like tonight, you're looking for someone to just step up and make a goal. Like, it doesn't even have to be a pretty goal. It could be a dirty monkey type of goal, but Sean Couturier, I was hoping that could be the guy that could get the Flyers team in that funk, get him on the board. And it's just unfortunate he can't get out of it, Bill. Like, and you know, when he turns it on, it's a different story for this team, man.
Let us talk about something a little bit more positive. It's Olipop, baby. What is Olipop? Olipop is the world's first functional soda with a classic soda taste and the benefits of plant-based fiber, prebiotics, and other botanical ingredients to support gut health. Olipop is a new kind of soda with only 2 to 5 grams of sugar and 9 grams of fiber per can. 2 out of every 3 Americans say they suffer from digestive issues, and 95% of Americans don't get the daily recommended amount of fiber. Olipop is tackling both these issues with a drink that tastes just like real soda. Prebiotic fiber is the food source for the beneficial probiotic bacteria in your gut, and Olipop has 9 grams of prebiotic fiber in every can that can help support your digestive health. And when you've got a gut like mine, you've got to keep it healthy. That's why I've been loving Olipop. Olipop is available online and available in almost 30,000 retailers nationwide, including the most recent launch at Wawa. That's right. Now you can get your sandwich, you can get your little snack, and you get a soda that isn't toxic waste, too. What a perfect combination, Wawa and Olipop. I've already been to Wawa twice today. I'm probably going to stop on my way home. Who's to say? Now you can get everything you need in one place. And the two flavors debuting at Wawa, it's classic root beer and strawberry vanilla. I've told you before, I'm more of a traditionalist when it comes to soda. I like cola, I like lemon limes, ginger ale guy. I was amazed at how much I dug the strawberry vanilla. Typically not my thing. Really like the strawberry vanilla Olipop. My wife, she's a root beer drinker. If you've seen Slapshot, you know me. None of that stinking root beer. But even Olipop can make root beer good. And my wife, big root beer fan, she's like, "Where we need to get more of this." Like, honey, we live next to a Wawa. You can just go get it there. And you can get it online as well. And you can use code PHLY20 for 20% off your next order of Olipop. Discount only applies to one-time orders, not to subscriptions. Olipop soda is sold on drinkolipop.com as well as at Amazon. Like I said, it's in almost 30,000 retailers, including Wawa, Target, Sprouts, Wegmans, ShopRite, and GoPuff. But if you want that 20% off, go to drinkolipop.com and use code PHLY20. Olipop, drink it.
You got to use the Cuz root beer float hack. It's the Olipop root beer. Throw some vanilla ice cream in that.
See, I could get down with that. Yeah, that right. is see.
You're welcome, guys.
Look at this. We have the co-star of the Anthony Gargano show, and he's already dropping knowledge on us from the Cuz. That's absolutely tremendous. Do we have the updated standings yet? I want to check out. I believe they should be up by now.
Final now.
Yeah, we have them up. Yeah, it's not looking too bad for the Flyers at this moment because of the results from the games earlier today. During the Flyers game, Washington loses, Detroit loses. So you stay ahead of both of them. You maintain this third spot in the Metro. But like I said before the ad read, I expect them to come out on Saturday and look like a different team than we saw tonight. I wonder how much they have in their tank, though, when you look at the way the schedule has fallen. Like, this is going to continue, this game every other day stuff, through the weekend and into Monday. They play Saturday, they play Monday. And then they finally have more than one day off between games. They'll have 3 days off before back-to-backs next weekend, and then 2 days off after those. Those are critical. Those recovery days are huge. Also, I really don't want to go into that. Like, okay, we're 0-3. Now we just need to win the next three. Like, oh, no, that's unacceptable. They have to figure something else out before they get these chances to rest.
Oh, my God. This is going to be an interesting stretch here going forward here for the Flyers, man. But, that blue line right now is really what I'm worried about. And as we'll talk to Charlie soon, man, hopefully Seeler coming too, maybe rest up.
You have to hope. And now let us bring on Philadelphia's number one hockey beat reporter. It is Charlie O'Connor coming to us live from Montreal, Quebec, Canada. Charlie, what were your impressions of the game tonight? I can't imagine they're good.
Yeah, this just wasn't the Flyers' best game. I do think that it was sort of a tale of two halves. I thought the first half, I actually thought defensively the Flyers played pretty well. There were some lapses. There was one play, I don't think they didn't even score on it, Montreal didn't, but there was one play during 4-on-4 play, I think it was early in the second, where the entire defense just backed in and just gave the entire center of the ice. Like, it wasn't perfect, but on the whole, defensively, I thought the Flyers played pretty well. They only give up 17 shots on goal. So for the third time in four games, they've given up 20 or fewer shots on goal. So pretty good. It was just the first half of the game, they could generate nothing. Offensively, they were non-existent. Then the final few minutes of the second period, they start getting some chances. Primo makes some saves. They missed the net on a few quality chances. And then the third period, I thought they were pretty much all over the Habs. They were the better team by a lot. They obviously get two goals past them that both get disallowed. But basically, it was just a night where they almost waited too long to get going. Like, if they would have had that kind of pressure for 60 minutes rather than 20, they probably do ultimately break the door down. You know, even if the bounces aren't going their way, they probably get a few goals, because there's only so much, there's only so long that you can keep putting that pressure up before finally the goalie wilts. Well, they did it for about 23, 24 minutes. That just wasn't enough time to start getting bounces. They obviously get the one goal late after the outcome was really no longer in doubt. But I think generally speaking, the players, while they were obviously disappointed about the outcome, they didn't think they played awful. It was just, it took them too long to get to the offensive side of their game. And then they also just kind of didn't get any breaks. Like, you have those two disallowed goals. I think they were both correctly called, ultimately disallowed. But, you know, we're talking about like 2 inches on that offsides play. You know, but in an alternate universe where, you know, Forser stretches his leg back just a little bit further, suddenly it's an entirely new game. So one of those games where the Flyers could have certainly played better, especially in the first half of the game, but also there's an element where it kind of just wasn't their night, and that happens. Unfortunately, this is a night where they could have used it to really gain some separation in the playoff race, and instead everybody just kind of holds serve. It just feels like a missed opportunity to me.
Yeah, it feels like a huge missed opportunity, and like, I just, the start to this game was so flat. They give up 2 goals in the first, but I think even more concerning, like you said, not being able to get anything going. They ultimately get credited with 5 shots on goal, Charlie. There's a 5-plus-minute gap between shots number 1 and number 2, and a 9-plus-minute gap between shot number 4 and shot number 5. That is just absolutely horrible. So I'm looking at what the Flyers' schedule has been. This is their 14th month on the 28th, their 14th game on the 28th day of the month. They've only had
14th month.
Yeah. They've feels only like had more than one game or more than one day in between games twice this month. It's been over 2 weeks since they've had more than one day off, especially considering the stretch of games they just came out of. And you look at that Rangers game, so physically and emotionally draining, probably to go through what they did and then ultimately lose it. Do you think they're just tired? Like, what was with the start tonight? Could anyone pinpoint it? Was it something Montreal was doing? Why were they so lifeless to start?
So it's an interesting point, and I thought it was notable that, you know, we talked to John Tortorella after the game, and he said, kind of unprompted, that he felt like the Flyers maybe didn't have their legs in this one. He basically said he didn't really think Montreal had their legs either. Montreal was coming back from a West Coast swing. They played Colorado on Tuesday, I believe, and won that game. He just didn't feel like a lot of energy early. That's what Tort said. And I had a follow-up and was like, look, if you guys are lacking energy, like, the games are going to keep coming. How do you get that energy back? And he basically just kind of said, well, we're going to have to find a way, because we got to win some of these games. These are important games. It's going to help that they're playing against Chicago. Like, Montreal isn't a very good team, but they're not nearly as bad as Chicago. Like, the Flyers, the last time they played Chicago, had probably their C-plus game, and they still ran away with it. Like, they should be able to beat Chicago, even if they're not at their best. The Islanders is a different story. The Islanders won tonight. They're not a great team, but they're certainly better than Montreal, so they're going to need to have some energy for that one. I asked Garnet Hathaway about it, you know, about how do you guys prevent the entire first half of the game from being an offensive black hole. And he's like, look, one thing that we have sort of established over the course of these last few weeks is that the third period is our best period. And he made an interesting point, which very well could be true. He basically said, I think that part of the reason why the third period is our best period is because over the course of the game, we do wear teams down. And there is, it's an accumulation of the work we've done over the first 40 minutes is why the final 20 minutes tend to be our best. And there's probably something to that. However, you got to have some quick strike goals. Like, you can't have no offense in the first half of the game. That's not going to work. One thing that hurts them in this regard, and obviously this is a problem that's been a problem all year, it's the power play. Like, even if you don't have the energy, if you have a good or a decent power play, you can maybe get a goal when you don't have your legs because you're playing in a half court. The Flyers don't have that. They went 0 for 4 again tonight. They just don't have that power play that can kind of bail them out when maybe the legs aren't there at 5-on-5. And, you know, maybe they're due for a little bit of a run of power play success because they're going to need it. Because if they really are a little gassed, they're going to need to find a way to manufacture goals. They showed it in New York they can, that it's there. But if it takes until the third period for it to really get there, they're going to need to find other ways to get it in the first 30, 35 minutes of games.
Hey, Charlie, JP over here. I want to obviously listen. This city is crazy right now with the Russian goalies, but I want to focus on our Swedish goalie here. Two goals allowed off the 13 shots. It seemed like there was a problem with the rebounds and controlling the pucks. How would you assess Harrison's night tonight?
I think he was okay. I don't think he was great, but I think he was okay. Obviously, they get they get two empty net goals. So I think I'm looking at his numbers. What was it? He had
13 of 15.
Okay, 13 of 15. I thought the first goal, I'm not going to blame on him at all. Like, that's a slam dunk, you know, off to the side on a power play. I'm never going to blame a goalie on that one. The second one, yeah, he probably could have squeezed that rebound. But I think he was okay. I certainly don't think he was the reason why they lost this game. Like, if you're a goalie and you hold a team to two goals, you're giving your team a chance to win. The Flyers had a chance to win this game. They just had no offense for 35 minutes. And then in the final 25, they couldn't buy a goal, or they didn't pay the refs enough to give them a goal. But I don't think that this was a terrible game by Harrison by any stretch of the imagination. Do I think he was at his sharpest? No, I don't. But I don't think he was awful. He kept the Flyers in the game. The Flyers just did not take advantage of the fact that the goalie kept them in the game.
Charlie, this is, I mean, on the list of reasons they didn't win tonight, Cam Atkinson dressing is not, like, for Noah Cates isn't on the list. But it's just something, it was a decision I found a little bit interesting. We talked the other day, one of the mailbag questions about Atkinson potentially getting back into the lineup at some point, and it took, like we said, someone else coming out, not him, like, working his way back in. I thought maybe it was a little interesting to go with Atkinson, mostly because Arbor Jacki's in Montreal's lineup, and if you were going to need, like, just the way the game went tonight, like, I don't know, Nick Deslauriers fighting him might have woken them up a little bit. Not that you're like, oh, well, the team's going to be flat, so I should, you know, dress my fighter. But what'd you think of the decision to go with Atkinson, and what'd you think of him in his return tonight?
Yeah, there wasn't much there.
Yeah.
Well, no, there just wasn't that much there from him. I thought there was one play he made behind the net where you're like, oh, that was a nice little elusive play by Cam Atkinson. Beyond that, like, there just wasn't much. And, you know, looking at the numbers, it very much backs it up. He had 9 minutes and 40 seconds of 5-on-5 ice time. And in those 9 minutes and 40 seconds, nearly 10 minutes, there was one shot on goal from both teams. Like, when he was on the ice, nothing happened. Like, nothing happened for the Flyers. Granted, nothing happened for the Canadians either, so at least it wasn't a liability. But it's just nothing was going on. That's 1/6 of the game where nothing was going on. And as much as I really like Cam Atkinson as a person, that's more or less what I've seen from him over the month leading into this run of scratches, which is he just hasn't been noticeable. Like, nothing is happening when he's on the ice. He's not doing much. And maybe he's gassed. Maybe he's finished. I don't know. Like, I truly don't know. But this game was not him making a strong case to stay in the lineup whenever Noah Cates, and hopefully everything's okay with Noah Cates and his family. I don't know if this is a good personal issue thing or a bad personal issue thing, because there are both. Like, sometimes it's like, oh, he's having a kid.
Wife's
sometimes
a kid,
it's,
yeah,
oh,
something like
it's,
that.
It's like, oh, a family member died. So I really hope it's a good thing and not a bad thing. But yeah. I have no idea how long he's going to be out for. But I don't think Cam Atkinson did anything tonight to, you know, make it known that he should not come out of the lineup. He didn't do anything bad. It's just nothing really happened when he was out there. And that's kind of been the trend for the last month, month and a half.
Charlie, I want to stay on the goalie position here. Obviously, in Philadelphia, not many Flyers fans may have watched Caden Primo, but 29 saves off 30 shots here tonight. Like, are we not giving him enough credit, or just the Flyers were just gassed tonight?
Well, I think he was good, and quite a few of the players that we talked to in the locker room gave Primo props. John Tortorella gave Primo props. I thought in the third period he was very good. Now, granted, he did allow two goals. Now, neither of them counted, but he did let two goals. Well, he allowed three, actually, because he allowed the one that really did count from Tippett. So he allows three goals. Two of them don't count. So it's not like he was perfect, but he made some big saves. Konechny rips one off the post on a power play. Like, there were – I think he was both good and fortunate, and – honestly, like the life of a goalie. Sometimes you are good and unfortunate. He was good and fortunate tonight and gets the win. Primo's, you know, you kind of want to root for him. Like, he's a local kid. Obviously, he's the son of Keith Primo. You know, kind of feels like a missed opportunity that the Flyers didn't draft him. He was a seventh-round pick. He was actually picked, taken with a pick. The Flyers traded Montreal. So it does feel like, you know, he should be here. He shouldn't be with the Habs, but he is with the Habs. I wish him the best, and you know, I guess if anybody's gonna, you know, gonna shut down the Flyers, at least it was a guy with Flyers ties at the very least. Like, that maybe is a little bit of a, you know, well, at least it's that. But one thing I did want to ask you guys while I have the floor here, did you guys talk about the play at the end of the second period? Because the players in the locker room very much wanted to talk about that.
I don't think so.
Okay, so this was an interesting little sequence. I'm sure it was shown on postgame. It wasn't apparently shown on the Flyers' feed, which is probably why you guys didn't know about it. So the second period ends, and the Flyers stay out there for a really long time. John Tortorella is, like, yelling at the officials. The Flyers' players are ticked off. Like, it took an extra, like, 3 or 4 minutes for the team to leave the bench. Konechny stays on the bench for a long time. Like, it was very clear they were angry about something. And apparently what it was – in that end of period scrum, you know, with time running down, apparently, and I don't know which player, because I haven't seen a replay yet. I'm going to try to dig one up. Apparently, a Montreal player on the Montreal bench either slashed or speared Konechny on the hands as he was, like, going by the bench, and the Flyers were livid about it. Apparently, the officials told Tortorella and the Flyers that, like, they just missed it. They didn't see it. It was completely, like, we didn't see it, so we can't whistle the guy. But you had Garnet Hathaway, Morgan Frost, and Scott Laudon all basically say, like, that was a disgrace. That play shouldn't be in the game. And they hope the league looks at it. Tortorella notably declined comment. He was just like, look, it doesn't matter. But the players were pissed. I mean, this seemed like one where everybody on the Flyers bench felt like it was beyond the pale play. So I was curious if you guys had talked about it.
Yeah, I did see some talk on Twitter about something that wasn't shown on the Flyers feed, but I didn't see what it was. So that's what it was. It's crazy, Charlie. The refs miss that. They miss Armia popping off Lawton's helmet. It's almost like Montreal typical, huh?
Montreal typical.
Yeah, two goals disallowed. They caught those somehow. They caught the offside. They caught the kick. But, yeah, just Montreal typical. Chuck, something that's a little bit typical Flyers. Maybe we run with this narrative a little too hard because it's like gambling. You remember your losses, and when things do get, it's like, oh, of course it went that way, you know? But yeah. This season alone, couple of losses to Pittsburgh, one of them huge, in a game that, you know, no one even remembers because it was Gauthier day.
Oh, the Gauthier game, yeah.
Couple of losses to Ottawa, the infamous San Jose loss. They lost to Anaheim, lost to Columbus. Now Montreal, is it a thing that they play down to their competition? Like, we've seen them get up for big games and go toe-to-toe and even beat some of the league's best teams. We come into this one saying, hey, if they play the way they did against the Rangers, they're going to roll, and they just have nothing. Is this, like, an issue for them?
Maybe. I really do think it's more that it kind of speaks to how tough it is for them to play their best game every night. Like, they have to really get up with it from an energy standpoint, from an execution standpoint, to do what the coaches want them to do. Now, the good thing is when they do it, they literally can play with anybody and not just beat anybody. I mean, they can skate with anybody. They can outshoot, outchance. You think back to that Dallas game a few months ago where they just dramatically outplayed one of the best teams in hockey. But if they don't have it, they can also lose to anybody. You know, look at the San Jose game early in the year. Team hadn't won a game. They beat the Flyers. Like, that's the Flyers this year, is that they need to be playing their game. I believe Rocky Thompson even said it in one of his availabilities over the last month, that, like, we know our game works. And we know when our game, when we're playing our game, we can beat anybody. But if we don't play our game, we can lose to anybody. And that's probably part of it. I'm sure it's easier to get up for games against the top teams. That's probably part of it. That said, like, I don't think they were awful tonight. Defensively, they were real good. Offensively, they were bad for half of the game, and they were good for the second half of the game. They just couldn't really break through until the very end. So I don't think they were horrible. They just didn't have their best game, and I guess that happens. There could be something to the idea that they not that they necessarily sag against bad teams, but just that they don't get up to play against the bad teams the same way they get up to play the Rangers, the Stars, the Hurricanes, the Maple Leafs, things like that. Like, that might be more of the explanation, but it's a worthwhile point. Like, I don't blame you for making the point, because from the outside, I get it. Like, it's a legitimate theory.
Just the last one before Stars for me, Charlie. You know, I'm looking at this team and what they need to try to get something going. And we love, you know, what we've seen out of Tyson Forster lately, what we've seen out of Morgan Frost lately, what we've seen out of even Owen Tippett gets the 27 goals matching last year's total. I'm looking at Sean Couturier, and I'm especially looking at Travis Sanheim right now. I see Sanheim plays under 22 minutes tonight, while Cam York goes over 28. Is Sanheim, like, I know he's not practicing. Is he just out of gas? Is it more than that? Do you know anything about the status of Travis Sanheim right now? Because I feel like he's got a lot more to give, but it's just not there.
I think it's abundantly clear that he's playing it, or, like, playing hurt, however you want to describe it. I said that on multiple occasions. I sat next to Jackie from the Inquirer tonight. We were the only two beat writers on the trip. There were multiple occasions when I'm watching Travis Sanheim skate, and I basically was just like, I don't know what this injury is, but it's something serious, because he just does it. Like, he's a really good skater. Yeah. When he's healthy, he can fly, and he just doesn't have that gear right now. Like, in short areas and small areas, he's okay, because he's still big and strong and he's still got the long reach. Like, he can still defend, but that element of his game where he can just fly up ice like a gazelle and fly through the neutral zone, that's just gone. He just doesn't have it. And I have to believe he's playing, you know, whether it's some sort of deep bruise or whether it's, you know, something more serious like a pulled muscle. I don't know. But he just doesn't look like he has that burst. And it was very noticeable, I thought, tonight, that whatever it is, it's taken away the elite part of his game, which is the skating ability. That's just not there. And now he's having to basically play like 70% of himself. So I don't think it's, with Sanheim, I don't think it's a, like, well, there's more to give. I think he's giving all he can. I just think right now this is all he can give, which sucks when, you know, he's one of only two, like, legitimate top four defensemen they have on this team right now.
All right, Charlie, it is now time for three stars of the game. I do not envy you with this one, because that's one of the least interesting games I've ever watched. When the officiating is legitimately the only, like, debatable thing in the game. I don't know how you're going to do this, but that's why we leave it to you. It's time for Charlie's three stars of the game, starting off with star number three.
Yeah, I'm not going to lie. I'm not going to give any Flyers a star. It just wasn't a game where I thought anybody in particular really stood out. Third star, I'll give it to Mike Matheson. Three assists on the night for the Habs. He leads the Habs in ice time with 25 minutes. Solid game for him. Second star, I'll give to Nick Suzuki. Finishes with a goal and an assist. Had one taken away, which, yes, it was definitely played with a high stick. But also, like, dude, did you ever try out a career in baseball? Because that was a really cool play to watch. So props to you, Nick Suzuki, on that one. Like, great hand-eye coordination there, buddy. And then your first star is Caden Primo. And again, I don't think he was, like, Patrick Waugh level good. There were two disallowed goals that, you know, an inch one way or another could have been real goals. He gives up one goal to Tippett that wasn't the best goal to allow. But the Flyers came with a big push in the third period. And if Primo doesn't play well, the Flyers easily could have sent this game to overtime. Instead, Primo held down the fort, gave his team a chance to win, and they held on. So I'll give Caden Primo first start. But yeah, this wasn't a game where I feel like any Flyers really deserved to be any of the three.
Honestly, no one deserved a star. Maybe Caden Primo, but yeah, whatever.
You know who deserves stars? We do, for watching the game.
It was tonight. Yeah, guess who's the star? I very much expect them to come out on Saturday and look like a different team, because that's what they've done this year. They've answered every time we've said, "Ooh, it looks like it." But goddamn, this felt like a last year game. Just watching this was a slog. Yeah. All right, Chuck. We will talk to you for Saturday's post game. Enjoy Montreal while you're still there. And then it's Connor Bedard time.
Hey, yo, that'll be fun to watch. See you guys. Have a good night.
Take it easy. Thanks, that Charlie. Is Philadelphia's number one beat reporter, Charlie O'Connor. And like I just said, Connor Bedard is coming to town. That's right. The Blackhawks on Saturday. This is, I mean, one, it's a must-win game. Two, it's one of the league's, young up-and-coming stars, the odds-on favorite to win the Calder Trophy. If you want to go to the game on Saturday, the best way to do it, it's with Game Time, baby.
I know.
Game Time is now an authorized ticket marketplace of Major League Baseball as well, which makes getting tickets even faster and easier. Prices on the Game Time app actually go down the closer it gets to first pitch. And Game Time is the place for last-minute tickets. So we're looking ahead to Saturday. Let us not forget opening day at the bank tomorrow. Maybe you couldn't go today, and all of a sudden, Friday opened up for me. Why not check out Game Time? Because Game Time has killer deals on last-minute tickets. They've got the all-in pricing. They've got views from your seats. And they have the lowest price guarantee. Game Time takes the guesswork out of buying Major League Baseball tickets. First off, you know about the last-minute deals. You can save up to 60% off buying last-minute for sports, comedy, theater, and more. And the flash deals, you save even more with exclusive in-app deals on select seats ahead of the game or event. So take the guesswork out of buying tickets with Game Time. For a limited time, all users can get $20 off any MLB purchase of $150 or more in the Game Time app with code FIRSTPITCH. Terms apply. That's code FIRSTPITCH for $20 off from March 25th to April 14th only. Download the Game Time app today. Last minute tickets, lowest price guaranteed. All right. Yeah. So I am thinking this team comes out a lot stronger on Saturday, but I am a little worried. Like, when you're hearing, I'm asking Charlie, like, is it just Sanheim's out of gas or he's hurt? And it's like, yeah, like, it's you can poke a lot of holes in Travis Sanheim's game. The inconsistent offense, sometimes you look at him, you're like, you're so big. How do you lose so many paddles? Like, there's little things, but you can never question his skating. I saw a couple times today where it looks like he could have started a rush or joined the rush, and he just goes to beat the one guy in front of him, and it ain't there, and he just has to either dump the puck or dish it off. It's concerning how banged up this team is.
Yeah, I mean, like, look, we're continuously talking about the strength of these next couple games here, but when you consider the fact that this team, all season long, they've fallen to the Sharks, fallen to the Penguins, you name it, and have found a way to bounce back. But now the circumstances are different. We're deep into the season. We haven't been in a situation for a while now. And with the health of this team, I mean, Bill, how deep is this bag that he can dig in?
It's impressive that he's fighting through it. And now, like, someone else has to step up. Like, Igor Zamula, I'm looking at you, dude. Like, he got almost 20 minutes tonight. I realize Igor Zamula is a third pair defenseman on a good team, and we're asking him to play second pair minutes right now, and we're asking him to do it with a defensive partner who is 37 years old and was a part-time player for Buffalo. You know, I get it, but we're so close to this finish line that it just needs to be someone. You know, I know, like I said, Sean Couturier, I know, man, I know. We need you. We need you right now. We just need a couple more guys to step up, and they can finish this thing off and get into the postseason. But it's an uphill battle. Luckily, they have some of these easier games coming up, but hopefully they learn tonight. Can't take these games for granted.
No, you absolutely cannot. And, like, you know, you heard Charlie talk about, by the way, Can we applaud Torts for talking to the media today?
That's the story that came out, I guess, from, I guess this morning. I saw Charlie tweet it was after Carolina and New York, Torts had family at the games. So he met with them, and that's why he didn't address the media, okay. And it won't be a thing going forward. Okay. Whatever. Sure. Fine. That's fine. I see we have a super chat from Booby Styles. Well, Charlie come to Brutapia. I'm gonna guess that's some sort of bar in Montreal.
All right.
Maybe it's a. I hope Charlie gets into one of them Montreal strip clubs. I've heard great things, and I hope he's taking full advantage before he comes back home. I assume tomorrow, probably. I can't imagine he's flying home tonight. But that's pretty much it for us tonight. Of course, this show and every show we do, it is presented by our presenting sponsor, and presented by our presenting sponsor, obviously, our friends at Mortgage CS. Listen, the spring purchase market, it's here, it's heating up. Many clients, especially first-time home buyers, are reaching out because they want to be ready when the rates drop. This is what everyone is doing, though. That means there's going to be limited inventory and strong demand, so competition will remain extremely fierce for the rest of the year. So you need to get in touch with Mortgage CS to prepare and ensure you will be able to stand out and make the strongest offers possible. Whether you're a first-time home buyer or you're looking to refinance, or you just want to know what you have to do to qualify for a mortgage when the time is right for you, Mortgage CS should be a consideration no matter your situation, because Mortgage CS is made up of honest, good people, and they always work hard not to let their clients down. But don't take it from me. Check out their reviews on Google. Spoiler, they average 5 stars. This one's from just a couple of days ago from a user on Google named Corey. He quotes his realtor to start this one. He says, "Corey, your mortgage team is iconic. I've never seen a team so responsive, professional, and effective in all my years as a realtor. This was my realtor on closing day. Even those words don't do Mortgage CS justice. I closed on my home in a record-breaking competitive housing market, and they 100% made it happen. If it wasn't for their speed, proactive communication, attention to detail, expert-level guidance, and care through every step of the process, it wouldn't have happened. The platform and tools were easy to follow. They were there for us for every step of the way and gave us the confidence and support we needed to get this done fast. Thank you, Maggie, Shannon, Ben, and Alec, for making this experience so seamless and for being so proactive throughout. I'll be recommending you to everyone, just like all these other happy clients of yours." That's just one of over 365 star reviews on Google. I've been telling you how great Mortgage CS is all season, but find out for yourself. Throw them a quick Google. I bet you you're impressed with all of their reviews. And when you hear the word mortgage, think of Mortgage CS. Think of Ben and Alec. Save Ben's telephone number, 267-391-7425, or email Ben@mortgagecs.com. Call or text anytime, day or night. And if you're not in the housing market, shoot them a text. Ask, you think they pulled this off? Flyers, finish the story, get to the playoffs? I bet you he gets back to you pretty quick. So call, check out mortgagecs.com/PHLY to get started today. This advertisement is not a commitment to lend or extend credit. Mortgage CS is an equal housing opportunity mortgage broker. All loans are subject to credit approval. Certain restrictions may apply. Company NMLS ID number 1464766. Visit mortgagecs.com for more information.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
I think that about does it for tonight, JP. I'm just hoping to see something a little bit better on Saturday.
Yeah, man. Listen, Chicago's not a good team. Obviously, Connor Bedard is pretty good at the sport of hockey, so that is definitely a thing. But, no, I mean, John Tortorella talked about it. They're going to have to find a way to find that energy, and we're going to find out quick on Saturday where they find that energy because we're going to need it here.
We absolutely will. All right, that'll do it for PHLY Flyers. Thank you all for listening. Thank you for hanging out. If you haven't already, hit that subscribe button. Follow us right here on YouTube. Set those reminders so you never miss a live show. Follow us on Twitter at @PHLY_Flyers. PHLY Flyers, wherever there are podcasts. My name is Bill Matz for JP Zapata and Charlie O'Connor. Have a great week, Philly.
See you guys.
You know, if you haven't checked out What Chaos yet, you oughta, because we've had all your favorite players on the show. I'm talking Seth Jones, Linus Solmark, Connor Bedard, whoever it may be.
We're live every day on YouTube at noon Eastern, but also available on all podcast platforms, including the one you're listening to right now.
We got guests, and yeah, we're also doing a bit of chit-chat, goofing around, laughing at what makes us laugh in hockey.
So regardless of how deep you are into your hockey fandom, come listen to What Chaos. We'll talk about your favorite team, we'll talk about your least favorite team, and everybody in between. And we're having a ton of fun doing it every single day, Monday through Thursday. It's What Chaos, presented by All City Network.